It's Golden Hour Adventure Time, featuring everyday people doing extraordinary things. From the peaks of victory to the valleys of defeat, these are their stories. Now, from the back of the pack, your hosts, Justin and Robbie.
Welcome to the podcast. This is Golden Hour Adventures. I already messed it up, Robbie. Like, I don't know what, you know, welcome to Golden Hour Adventures podcast. And then instead, it's just like, welcome to the podcast. So,
well, I butchered last week, so.
Yeah, you did. What's indifferent? I mean, if something doesn't go wrong in the podcast, it's not a podcast, right? So today we have not one awesome, not two awesome, but three sweet guests from Death March Running Company. So welcome to the podcast, Alan, Cody, and Taylor.
What's going on, guys?
I was hoping to say, hoping that they wouldn't said anything and it'd be like, don't all talk at once. I didn't want to say that.
You won't find that issue with us.
Yeah.
Cody's wife actually gave him like, prologue is not the right word, but a motivational speech of don't talk too much.
Yeah. She's like, Cody, let the other guys talk. Come on.
Oh, and that's funny.
You know, these two, they're both talkers as well. Yeah. So it doesn't matter.
That's awesome. Well, let's jump into Death March. So, you know, us on the Trail and Ultra World, we know what a Death March is, and I've been there many times, and I'm sure Robbie has too.
I was at Bandera.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Robbie came out to pace me at Bandera, and I don't know what mile it was, but he hit a wall, and he hit it hard. I'm pretty proud of myself because this is the second official time that I've ever dropped a pacer. So, nice. You know, you hear it from the elites, but never the back of the mid pack. So,
Death March. It's, you know, we started, and we'll get into kind of our individual stories here in a bit and how we all got started in our ultra running journeys. But this was a genesis of many, many years of both Alan and I running, Taylor and I running together individually. Alan and I, we'll go into the story later, but we started running together, running ultras because we couldn't play racquetball one morning. And we went to the Village Inn, ate some breakfast. And I was like, hey, dude, like I heard about this 50 miler out in the Black Hills. Do you want to do it? And he's like, sure. We didn't know shit. Other than, and we can go to this later, I did manage the old school Pearl Izumi Ultra team, which had its heyday. Man, some big names there that were a part of that team. But
you always hear people like with their stack of Pearl Izumis that like what caused them to take the downfall? Because I mean, I wasn't trail running at that time. I have no idea anything about them, but it seems like that was the shoe to beat at that time.
Yeah, there's some bangers in there. There was the Trail End 2 was probably maybe my favorite shoe of all time and the best shoe of all time. The Peak 2 is really good.
Yeah, the Peak XC before that was a Bob Africa shoe, killer shoe. You couldn't beat them. The demise or the change there was that Pearl Izumi was owned by a cycling company, and they wanted to kind of go back to their core, what they knew, what they were really good at, and not that they weren't making strides in run, but it was an uphill battle even for a company Pearl Izumi size when you're going against the behemoths of Nike, of Brooks, of you name the other big running brand, and it was a tough market, and so they decided they were the market leader, or Shimano was in cycling, and Pearl obviously has a storied history in cycling apparel, and so they just decided to kind of push run out the door and just focus on cycling. So that's why that happened. I do miss those. And to your point, Justin, I still get stories of people or messages from people that have two boxes of brand new shoes left in the closet, and they're transitioning one to a lawn mowing pair, and you know they're afraid to get these next ones out on the trail. But Alan has a few. Yeah,
I still have a pair of N1s left.
There you go. See, no, great shoe. So Alan and I, through the years of running together, suffering through races,
hallucinating together.
Yeah. And we are back of the pack runners, and we death march runs. I mean, we've been known to go out hard for us, blow up and just figure out a way to survive. And so we started talking about how it'd be cool to, you know, make some t-shirts and talk about this and celebrate this because, you know, obviously everyone listening here and you guys are all ultra runners, you know what we go through. It is a bitch. Just what you put your body through, but it is so, so rewarding. And it's just this untapped community, and the community aspect is what really drew us to the sport. Yeah. And it's like, how can we connect with these people and how can we make light of it and talk about it, but be funny and irreverent, but also be serious about and proud about what you're doing. And so then, you know, the genesis kind of started with us talking about it, and then Taylor started running with us. And then really the push was this last year at the High Lonesome 100. I somehow got in on my first lottery attempt, and I was like, oh shit, boys, this is happening. Here we go. I was not prepared.
I was legit
scared shitless. And, I went out, I lost a ton of weight. I trained harder than I've ever trained for a race because I've never done a big mountain race like this, 100 miler. And I went out, I was flying. Alan and I are
watching the tracking, and we're like, you had to get brought in by the local Jeep club to the first like crew aid station. And Alan and I are like, holy shit, he's 3 hours ahead of pace. Like, yeah. We need to get moving because not only that, but it was an hour drive from town.
He's going to drop the crew.
But yeah, I was like, I need to ride this until the wheels come off. And fuck, the wheels came off at like mile 70.
Enter the death march.
Oh my God. Yep. We got to the backside of Monarch and climbing up in the middle of the night. I was hallucinating. I didn't know where the fuck I was.
I had a good time.
I credit the finish. I finished to Alan and Taylor for being there, but I death marched the last 30, 35 miles in. It was a trage. And we're just there. Obviously, you know how pacers are amazing, and they're just trying to get my mind off it. And we just started connecting the dots with what we wanted to do for a company. And we're like, all right, we got it. This is the time. We got to make this happen. Mm-hmm. And I think was it Taylor that
he
was
came
like,
in.
Taylor was like, we got to call this. Was it Taylor that could name it?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Taylor's like,
it's the only appropriate name.
Yeah. We got to call this Death March. I was like, bingo. That's it.
Well, I mean, make no mistake. Even if you're a back of the packer and flirting with cutoffs or, you know, a strong runner, everybody's danced with the death march.
100%.
You don't have to be missing cutoffs to be part of the death march. You can win it and still have danced with it. So.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, look at, what is it, Sally McRae's Moab 240 this year? Or which one? When her, like, heel bone was exposed? She's death marching like crazy, and she's probably one of the strongest ultra runners out there right now, especially when you get in the 200s. That definitely is strongest, but yeah,
it's like 180 miles of death marching.
Yeah, you know, everybody's death marching.
But yeah, so that's kind of how we finally hit the green light, and we got back from that, and we were just on such a high. We sent a million texts between the three of us, and we're like, all right, we're starting this. This is it. So.
Yeah, I think it was between that and then you pacing me out at Run Rabbit. Two run pace duties back to back, and time to rock and roll.
Yeah. So that's kind of how it started.
Well, it seems like you guys have hit the ground running. You know, I'm seeing you all over the place, and as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, we got to get these guys on the podcast. We got to see what we can do for them, because I'm all about, and Robbie as well, is, you know, supporting the local community. We're both ultra runners. It's a small niche sport as it is. And it's like, how do we bring this out to the public and get more people aware? You know, and with our small platform of the podcast, like, hey, this is a perfect place. Like, let's help you guys out, you know? And so, but yeah, I've seen, you know, tons of people wearing the shirts and supporting the stickers. And so it's like, it seems like you guys, when you guys hit the ground running, you start introducing stuff out, it just blew up.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. I think, I think the art honestly is speaks for itself, and it really connects and resonates with people. It's, I mean, it's some, it's, I see you wearing, rocking the Pain Cave right now. People for the most part, I feel like the reception's been great and people are loving it. And again, we're trying to celebrate everything that you go through in an ultra in just in a fun way. So, yeah.
How has the sales been so far? If we don't want to get too deep into the logistics of things, but it seemed like I said, seems like you guys have blown up. Have you guys been pretty successful so far? Or?
I'd say we're doing better than we thought it was going to be at this point. Sales wise, it's up and down, but I think the thing that blows us away is when we sign in every morning, we're like, holy shit, we just crossed another 100 followers on Instagram. It's such a silly dopamine rush, but it's definitely made the winter quite fun.
Yeah. That way.
Yeah, it has. And you know what, I'll pull up just a message to Taylor's point. We log in and we see how many followers we get, or even cooler than that, honestly, is how many comments we get and comments from people.
And
that
the messages too are phenomenal, yeah. That are like behind the scenes and not public. Just like, you know, we're interested in the sport. We're interested in pushing ourselves. Like we're even starting having, you know, long conversations behind the scenes with folks just about our experience and the little bit of wisdom, I guess, we've attained over the years.
Yeah.
Obtained.
Yeah. Just trying to pay that forward too. It's been fun. The reception's been pretty good. To Taylor's point, the sales are exceeding our expectations. I mean, we were happy to lose money for a while, mm-hmm. just to do something fun with a sport that we all absolutely love and are passionate about. And it's cool to see that other people are just as crazy and passionate as us. And we knew that was there. We're just trying to find a fun way to connect with them. So
that's super cool. Like I said, I've been following you guys. I don't know from the beginning, but for quite a while, and just watching you guys grow on Instagram, and it's been fun to, like I said, see more people wearing the shirts and supporting you guys. It's been really cool. Yeah. I got to ask the artwork. So the skeleton, where did that thought come from? I mean, I get the death march part of it, but like the artwork is what sets you guys apart from other, you know, ultra running clothing lines.
The artist we work with, I mean, he's super talented. Cody actually had worked with him on some other stuff. Yep. And he's like, I got this guy. And then he brought us back, I think I don't remember what the first thing we even posted was. Maybe the OG one.
The OG Death March. Yeah.
And I was just like, through the desert, dehydrated, bones are showing. Kind of made sense. And then we loved, I think our main logo, kind of jokingly, we call him Guillermo, but just he needed a name, and I don't know, few too many beers, and that's what we thought was the most fun. We kind of just really liked how he looked and said, let's bring him to the forefront. And then that's kind of moved on since. But our artist is phenomenal, and been quite pleased.
He is. Yeah, he's great. And we've got a couple of others that we're working on, working with. But yeah, to your point on the art is you've seen some pretty cool stuff. I think, you know, we've got some really cool other stuff coming out and future plans and future products, that, you know, it's crazy. We just posted on Friday, what we call Wildflowers, right? It's a couple of lady skellies running through like a forest of wildflowers up in the mountains, and it's badass. And the reception on the women's side is amazing. And don't get me wrong, this shirt is sexy, and I want
it on a pastel pink. That's what
it's going to be sick. But the reception from the women has been awesome, and we're getting a ton of questions and comments about doing some women specific tees or tanks, and we're addressing those. We're going to bring those out, but it's been fun. But we have, we have a Google sheet with, there's probably still 120 different design ideas that are untapped right now that we haven't even gone to that are, I mean, there's some that are super risque, super irreverent, very, you know, inspiring, just the full gamut. I mean, there's some pretty cool stuff in there. So
that's awesome. I'm definitely looking forward to seeing all that comes out. And I got to get one of those palm beanies that I saw coming.
Dude, the palm
I wear beanie. A palm beanie every freaking day up here. So
yes,
we're talking about the new circular logo palm beanie.
Yeah. Yep.
Or do we decide we're doing winter hats?
We should do both. it's going to be the Justin special. We'll do one just for him.
That winter ultra.
Not a bad idea. It's perfect, actually.
Well, let's jump into to individual stories here. You know, we'd like to hear like what the background of everyone is. Alan, let's start with you. We haven't heard much from you. Let's start with you. What's your individual ultra running story?
Well, mine started, like Cody said earlier, we went to high school together. Yep. And, you know, paths crossed over the years, and we used to play racquetball together. And one winter, I had been down in Denver to play racquetball for the weekend, and Cody and I were talking. Like, I was hitting the treadmill, trying to get in shape, and trying to beat him in racquetball. I think I'm 0 for life against him. Total in racquetball.
I let him get close, and then he shut the door.
Like, oh, I just can't close. But so one morning we go out to the reserve racquetball courts, and they can't get on. And they're like, oh, you got a couple hours before they open up. So we go to the Village Inn, and Cody starts pitching this idea. He's like, hey, there's a Black Hills 50 that we should go do. And I was like, you know, at this point on the treadmill, like, I didn't run in high school. I didn't run after high school. I was just doing this to get in shape. And I think I was doing like 5 to 8 miles max. No. And he's like, let's go do a 50. I was like, I don't know if I can. And he's like, oh no, we'll just, you know, we'll ease into it. We're just going to take it easy. We'll run the flat and just walk everything.
Yeah, and I was like, dude, the aid stations are going to have food. Yeah. It's going to be like a picnic, cookies. Man. We're
and,
good.
And remind me, Cody, what year is this? This was what, 2009?
2014.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, well, this is interesting. So I'll look into it. And I had been running some, and then like got busy work, wasn't running as much as I should have. And two or three weeks before the race, he calls me up and he's like, are you ready for this? And I'm like, oh my God. Yeah. Like, oh shit. I thought we were joking. It turned real bad. Mm-hmm. And so we head in there and we go out hard.
Yeah.
Real hard.
We didn't know what we were doing. We had no fucking clue.
Yeah.
We just wanted like, to be out there.
You know, we like hiking all day. Yeah. Like, it's just that was occasional running. Yep. Well, we go and it got hot. And so I blew up real hard. And so I had like all in that day, I had my first half marathon distance.
Well, oh, my God.
First half marathon, first full marathon.
First
50K. And that's where the wheels came off. There was a lot of puking, a lot of like hanging onto trees, just like hoping that, you know, we could just stop. Well, I think we come into the aid station and, you know, that's like the worst place to be. So I ended up dropping and I was like, oh man, Cody, you just got to go without me. And so he finished the race. I see him at the finish line and I was like, because like that whole day, I'm like, you know what, maybe running is just not for me. You know, like I did all these different distances. And I was like, maybe that's just not for me. I saw him at the finish line. And I was like, okay, Cody, I want that next year. I was like, oh, like seeing him at the finish line. I was like, okay, maybe I could be a runner if I focus on this. So then like we did the next year, I finished it and I was like, holy crap, now I can do it. And then I'm like signing up for multiple a year. Yeah. I did the lean horse, the fall at like, 2 months later, I'm doing lean horse.
You took second in your age group. third in your age group for lean horse.
So I went from like questioning whether I should even be out here. And then like, then I was like, oh, maybe I do belong a little bit, but definitely still roll with the back of the pack.
One of my favorite memories, favorite experiences ever. And like, Alan, and we'll just be honest, Alan's a big boy. Alan is...
I'm adult sized.
Yeah, he's
I like that adult size.
Hey, king sized.
And we'll get real serious right now. We've had we've heard people for a long time say, you're just too big, Alan. You can't do it. It's like, it's too hard on your body.
People I worked with.
Yeah. Just like, fuck off. Like, are you kidding me? Anybody can do this. Alan is stronger than anybody I know. The first 100 miler that we finished together was it has to be one of my top five memories, experiences, period.
The entire race.
Oh man. Yeah.
Highs and lows. It was great. We were both thrown up at mile 25. Oh,
yeah. I almost pulled out at mile 50. My knee was messed up.
And I talked him into sticking.
Yeah, he had some duct tape that saved my race.
Oh, that was a duct tape race. Duct tape race. Infamous. Yeah. Infamous.
Dude, yeah. And then,
we got to hear that story right now. We got to hear the duct tape story.
Oh, man. So we're like at the turn at Lean Horse. And like Cody's limping it in for the like 4 or 5 miles before that.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't know. Like, I've never heard Cody say this phrase. I think I'm going to drop.
Yeah.
And I was like, are you sure? And we're sitting there and I'm like, usually this is me saying this. Like, that's my line. And I was like, no, you're not going to drop. Like, we'll get through this. And he's like, if I could just hold my knee together, like put some pressure on it. And I was like, well, I mean, Dana's got duct tape in the car. Like, well, let's try it.
All right.
So like, just right on the skin. We taped that thing up for.
Oh, dude! I almost couldn't bend my knee.
Type thing.
Yeah,
they were.
But so, it held it together, and
so then we just start speed walking on, and by the time like the sun came up, he's like, "Oh, I think we can, we can increase the pace a little bit," and we're cruising along, and then I think at mile 85 or 80, one of the aid stations had like this horse trough filled with water, just ice cold water. Cody dives in and he's like, this feels really good. Well, I mean, can you hose yourself down with water? There was a lot of chafing after that, but it was instant relief. And he's like, my knee feels much better. So then we're like, well, we probably should get this tape off. The tape was definitely on too long.
Horrible.
So then he had other issues with like skin ripping off.
Yeah.
So like, it's always, on to the next thing that bugs you. But I was leading him out of aid stations and helping him along. And for the first time, I think I helped him get to the finish line.
100%. That's the only reason
he's like the big coach and crew leader.
Yeah.
So it was kind of a nice change to be the one that I felt like we finished. I looked better at the end of that 100 than I did at all the 50s that I've done.
Yeah.
And so that was like a legit like entrance into like, I can be here now.
I offended people immediately after the race by Instagramming everyone that told Alan that he's not an ultra runner.
Oh my gosh. Fuck off.
Yeah, you can tagging people.
I was not having it.
But I got a big welcome to the family.
Yep. Yeah, I got the buckle, man. Yeah, I got to give you your buckle.
Yeah,
that was epic.
Sweet.
Yeah. So
isn't it weird? I have this conversation with people all the time, and so I wholeheartedly believe that if you do a 50K, that you're an ultra runner. There's no doubt about it in my
100%.
Mind.
100%.
Absolutely. You do a 50K, you are an ultra runner.
Yep.
I'd even say if you do 45K, you're an ultra runner.
Yeah, I get it. I just use 50K as kind of the standard distance as an ultra runner.
Death march is in there.
Yeah.
But there is a distinct difference when you get handled your first 100-mile buckle.
There's nothing like
200%.
I think that it's hard to explain, and I'm probably going to offend some people here, and so I'm sorry, but it's like going overnight, seeing the sunrise the next morning, seeing the heat from that second day that you've blasted through the first day, like throwing up at mile 30, mile 40, whatever it may be, like getting to that 70, 80 mile mark where the race really quote unquote starts.
Yeah.
And then crossing the finish line at 34 hours, an hour, 30 minutes before the cutoff, and then getting that buckle. And it's like, I've ran 50Ks, I've ran 50 milers. There's not a feeling that is any better than that right there.
No, nothing like it. It is unreal. And all of the moments leading up to it, when you finally get to the point that you're going to finish, is you start ugly crying. You just, your mind is melting.
I have a phenomenal video of Cody, like, ugly crying, probably a tenth of a mile from the finish of Hilo this year. Yeah. And like, he could barely get out that we were like about to be in the finisher's shoot. It was awesome. Yeah.
And then you get in there and you see your pacers, you see your friends, your family, you crawl sometimes. You make your way across the finish line, and whoever it is, usually the race director or you know, somebody affiliated with the race, hands you the buckle. And to your point, Justin, there's nothing like it. Nothing like it. And yes, to what you're saying earlier, you run a 50K, you're an ultra runner. You run anything over that, you're an ultra runner. But getting handed your first 100-mile buckle is magic. Just pure fucking magic.
Yep. 100%. Well, Alan, what is an embarrassing story from something that you have done or you've experienced while out on an ultra, training for an ultra, day-to-day life? I mean, we've had some good ones on here, so it's going to be tough to top, yeah, but I feel like you have a cool story that we got to hear.
I don't know if it's necessarily like really embarrassing or not, but I remember I came into, so when I finished the 100 with Cody, I had tried 2 years before that to do it on my own. It was the year after he got the buckle there, and I was like, I can do this. And I was like, all right, you know, I'll see you. I don't need him out there with me. I'm going to do this on my own. And I come into like mile 40 or 44, and it was hot. Like, I like the cool weather. I overheat a lot. I do a lot of projectile vomiting. Like, Cody will be ahead of me on the trail, and like, things will be going. We'll be mid conversation, and I'm just
that animal
gasping for air, like to catch my breath, to puke more, just sanding it down the trail.
Yeah,
and so like, I come in hot to the aid station, and I'm pulling my shoes up. Dana is sitting there helping me, and I got one shoe off, and I'm like, it hit me, you know, like when you stop and the sweat starts pouring and you're like, I'm going to puke. So like, I'm at the aid station in the chair, and I'm like, I can't just puke all over everything here. So like, I got one shoe off, frock half on, and I'm like running across the grass, puke, like dry heaving, while everybody else is like at the aid station trying to get food to move on. And I'm just like crawling on my knees, like dry heaving. They're like, what is this guy's deal? And I come over there just like pale, like, all right, well, I think I can go on. So then like,
what mile was this at?
Station. I ended up dropping at the halfway point, but I puked from there till the turn. Just every time I took a sip or thought about taking it, I'm just dry heaving, turning my guts inside out. Yeah. But I just keep thinking about, like, I'm there crawling across the aid station. I'm like, pull yourself together. Like, it's just getting started here.
What mile was that at?
That was either 40 or 44. I can't remember which mileage. It's just past Rochford on Lean Horse.
Oh, okay.
It's like, I think it was 5 miles before the turn, so somewhere in there. But it's like, we haven't even gotten into the night. It's like still too hot. I'm just dying out there. I'm like, well, Cody, I didn't do it. And he's like, are you sure? And I'm like, yeah. Like, I lost a lot of weight that day. I think that one, I think from the start of the race to the next morning when I finally like rehydrated, I was still down like 18 pounds. And I was like, that's a crash diet.
Wow.
Not weighing myself like after the race, but I was like, I just was out of it. And by the time, like, I'm just pounding liquids. And so that's my record for, like, I don't know what it would have been like right at the drop, but I was dehydrated a little bit, short on liquids. And now it's like usually if I can keep it, you know, single digits of weight loss during a race, I'm doing pretty good with eating and hydration. But yeah, the heat usually is what my downfall is. It takes a lot to keep you cool.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Which I'm not saying like everybody has to deal with the heat, but it just seems like I can be going quite well, and then once I get hot, it's hard to cool me down.
Mm.
But I do love the nighttime for that.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the night's the saving grace on most races for me.
I'd say most of my embarrassing moments are the random projectile puking. Like the one year we're cruising at Black Hills during a 50, we're coming up out of Nemo, going up those, and it was muddier. It was just slime, so we're just like trudging our way up there. And there's some hikers out there. And I, as they're crossing, I'm just blowing chow. And they're like, try some water. And then, you know, like nothing worse than when you're just like, you know, trudging along. And they're like, have a nice hike. Like, I'm great.
You're not seeing that? I have a bib on. I am racing.
I love that. Have a nice hike. Thank you. Thank you for that.
Try drinking water. Oh, gotcha.
Oh my gosh. That's funny. Well, Taylor, let's walk down your ultra running history.
Yeah. I didn't realize that I had my first ultra before Cody.
You did.
Which I just learned in this moment, which is
See, look, we're just
wonderful.
Bringing friendships closer together.
Yeah. mine kind of started like further back. I was always in endurance sports through high school as a swimmer. Got in a triathlon that brought me to Boulder, Colorado. And then while I was in school, somehow weaseled my way into a job working with Cody at Prolizumi.
Did. He was a very hard worker.
What about those
premiums
there?
Yeah. I was
asking. Real quick. Taylor would ask me, so when you work in an industry, like an outdoor industry, you get pro deals on through different companies, right? A discount. And literally every day, Taylor would ask me if we got a pro deal on this or that. One day, he asked me if I thought that I can get him a pro deal on McDonald's.
Okay, so in all fairness, it kind of ties to the ultra running like background story. So yeah. It's great that you brought that up. But yes, I do ask for ridiculous shit all the time. It hasn't stopped over the past. I don't know, 15 years since then almost.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was working with Cody. I was racing bikes, fun stuff. And he, like he had mentioned earlier, he was managing the Prolizumi Ultra team. He was going out to Western with, you know, probably like Scott Hyme and Tim Olson, Garcia Africa, probably.
Team
one. Yeah. And kind of that got me introduced to it. Like I said, I was living in Boulder at the time, you know, Anton, I think one Leadville was that 2008-2009 back to back. I think all the ultra running historians are probably gonna chop my legs off for that one.
They don't listen to us, trust me.
And so yeah, I was like tangentially familiar with the sport, and one of the guys I was racing bikes with, a guy named Alex Hogger, lives down in Albuquerque now, fondly referred to as Albuquerque Alex. He was going out to do the Sageburner 50K for his first ultra after hanging up his cycling shoes. And Alex, he's kind of finicky on his diet. Let's just go with that. And he goes, I'm worried about aid stations. Can you come out and crew me? And I was, you know, single, probably, I don't even know, 22, 23 at the time, and had nothing to do. And a weekend in Gunnison? Hell yeah. Like, you don't have to ask me twice. Well, the whole drive there, it's from Boulder. It's, I don't even know, it's probably a 3.5 hour drive. The whole drive there, he's trying to talk me into signing up. And coming from bike racing and triathlon background, I was like, there's no way they're going to have race day sign up. So I'd kind of just threw out, you know, if they have race day sign up, fine, I'll sign up and go. And sure shit, the Ricks family, who runs Mad Moose Events, great race directors.
Killer events.
Yeah, I was just down at one. We're down at the Arches, yeah.
Oh, nice, yeah. Yeah. You know, Denise Ricks and her husband and the whole family out there all the time. They're phenomenal race directors. If anybody gets a chance to go to MUB or in mainly Colorado Springs to do one of the races, highly, highly, highly recommend them. They're very well put on. But, you know, thank God to them that day they had race day sign up. So signed up. I think I had like, I don't even know what I brought in the car. I think I had 2-inch split shorts from Prolizumi, a singlet. I don't think I had a hat or a water bottle. I might have had road shoes. I don't know. Signed up, went to the local store, bought a water bottle, and thanks to all the cycling fitness, it was out with the leaders through probably the third or fourth aid station, learned a hard, hard lesson about ultra running. I think I ran the first 20 miles in just under 4 hours and the last 11 in just under 5 hours.
you did learn a lesson.
Talk about a death march. And I was kind of like, I'm done ultra running. This is a dumb sport. Let's. And I mean, the fact of the matter is I still think it's a dumb sport, but I love it.
You always think it's a dumb sport when you're in the middle of it. When you're sitting at your table, looking at your shirts and your buckles and you're like, oh man, I love this sport. But then when you're in the middle of it, you're like, this is so stupid. Why am I doing this again?
So I was doing everything I could to finish that race. I was like massaging out my IT band with, flat rocks, trying the best, massaging out the bottom of my feet, same way, like under the table at aid stations, trying to get out of the sun. I got like blistered sunburn behind my ears that my mom doesn't let me live down anymore. She's like, put on the goddamn sunscreen or wear a sun shirt. She bought me one of those hats with like the wavy thing behind you now from that. And then after that, that was 2011. So a couple years before Cody and Alan first. Yeah. And then I kind of gave up on the ultra running thing and was like, hey, let's get into mountain biking. Cause drink beer, ride bikes sounded like a lot of fun. Did that for a number of years. And then my wife was trying to break 2 hours in a road half marathon. And she just was getting disappointed. I think she went 2 hours and 9 seconds once. Mm-hmm. And so she signed me up to Pacer and I was like, well, shit, I gotta start running again. So then started running again, doing some intervals, getting fit. Cause I'm like, if I need to get her under 2 hours, I sure as shit need to be able to run under 2 hours. And so, yeah, we got her to like a 152 finish and I was running a bunch and, Alex called me, Albuquerque Alex again called me and was like, hey, I'm coming up to do a Mad Moose race in the Springs called, the Pikes Peak Ultra. Come down and race it. And he was doing the 50K. And I was like, I'm not interested in going far anymore. That just sucks. So I signed up for 30K, had a lot of fun. And that kind of rekindled the passion for trail running. And that was, I think, late 2018 or so. And then we decided to move back up towards Boulder from Denver and got involved with the local run club, the Runners Roost Run Club out of Louisville. And that run club, a lot of accomplished ultra runners out of there, and started running with them. And I was like, yeah, I'm not interested in doing anything long anymore. This doesn't seem fun. I just want to go short and be done in a few hours and be a good time. Well, after my second son was born, about 6 weeks after he was born, I went back to that Pikes Peak 30K Ultra. And in any sport, swimming, cycling, triathlon, ultra running, whatever, had my first overall win. That was cool. But that's just like a precursor to what happened next is I went, I think that was on Saturday. And I think that next Wednesday, I went and got vasectomy, got snipped. And they're like, we can't do shit after that. You sit on the couch, like watch TV and you hear the whole thing. Like guys want to do it in March Madness. Well, my buddy, Donnie Buki, who's on the, Speedland team with Cody, and has become a good friend of mine. He asked me to pace him, at Leadville.
This is days after you got snipped.
It was like 8 days after. so it's kind of, it makes sense, like, make your balls not work, so you might as well just go out in the woods with your friends. I don't know. is what it is. So he gets me out there and his reasoning was, oh, you have a new kid, like you're good at being up through the night and you can pace me. Well, mind you, he's had like 4 Leadville finishes before this. He's awesome. So I'm driving out to Leadville. I'm texting his wife and another pacer and like, oh, he came through twin and he's already lost his legs. And I was like, shit, he just got to go up and over Hope twice and come back. Does that. And he's like, I've been puking for 15 miles. And then, so I get him after freezing my ass off at, I think it was May Queen. at 3 or 4 in the morning. They're not 3 or 4 in the morning. That's when we finish, but, through there and the whole time around Leadville in the scene, if nobody's been to Leadville and they're thinking about running 100, go hang out at Twin Lakes for like a few hours and you're like, I'm going to run 100 miles. There's no doubt in my mind. If somebody goes to Twin for a little while, they're going to run 100 miles. The scene there is phenomenal. Highly recommend it. So yeah, I paced him to a big buckle finish the last like 13. He's, you know, like Alan said, he was puking the whole time, trying to give him some Coke, puking. He's walking and pissing. He's the only guy I know that can do that. It's phenomenal. I've tried it and it just gets all over my, oh yeah, this must be a Team Speedland thing and why.
That's what I put in my application for.
That's on unique now. It can walk and piss. They're like, that is a core requirement. So anyways, we got into the finish and I was like, I couldn't get out of my mind. It was the only thing I could think about for months and months and months. So I signed up for Run Rabbit pretty much as soon as that opened in 22. Yeah. But then I went from there, I went to Behind the Rocks Ultra, another Mad Moose event that's coming up here probably in like 3 or 4 weeks.
A couple weeks, yeah.
And it was like 96 degrees, so hot, went out too fast, death marched it in. Like everyone's texting my wife because she ran the, like, I don't know, 15K that day. So she was feeling good and responded to everyone and just got some service. Phone blew up and she texted her like, I'm fucked. I don't know why I'm here. And then I'm texting all after that. I death marched it in, finished. It was like 12 and change. And I was texting all my 100-mile buddies that are like accomplished guys. Have done Hurt, Leadville, you know, Hard Rock, a lot of big stuff. And they're like, "Oh, 50s are way harder than 100s." I'm like, "You guys are so stoned. I know weed's legal here, but you guys need to lay off it." And so yeah, they're like, "Just stay signed up, see how your training goes, do your thing." And so that was probably one of my first ultras back, was that 50 miler. Then I did Quad Rock 25 miler, which come down for that one. That one's brutal.
Yeah. I've done the 50 and the 25. I'll never do the 50 ever again.
No, people that do the 50, like a special, they like, they hate their life apparently. Cause
that was my first 50 miler was Quad Rock. And I was like, what am I doing?
Holy shit. That's impressive.
I ran Quad Rock and then 5 weeks later ran Black Hills.
Sick. I like it.
Well, I fell apart at Black Hill, so it wasn't that sick, but
okay, fair enough.
You got sick. Well,
yeah, I got sick apparently. So yeah, I was doing that and had a shitty day at Quad Rock and was like, all right, I don't know how much worse 100 could be than these two experiences. Mm-hmm. Well, fast forward to July 4th weekend, working on my truck, hurt my back, like pinching nerve, and my right foot goes numb, super bad drop foot. Couldn't walk around. Shout out to my PT, Evan at Build here. And he told me this after I finished the 100. He was like, there's not a chance I thought you were going to get on the start line. But the whole time he's shooting me, he's like, we're going to get you there. Then you're going to do this thing. So cool. And he did. He got communication back, was running, but nothing like essentially having your foot not work 7 weeks before 100 miler. And I was freaking out. Cody knows, he was texting. And then, yeah, the nice thing about Run Rabbit is before they give you your buckle and officially count your finish, you have to hug somebody, like one of the race employees. And talk about ugly crying. Like the race director gave me a hug and I'm like buried in his shoulder, just like soaking his shirt in tears. And trying to like walk over and see my kids and parents and all that stuff and couldn't do it. And then and then once I finish 100, I'm hooked. It's like all I can think about and all I want to do. And being hurting at the moment is been horrendous. I've run 1 mile in the past 4 weeks, so hopefully we'll be healthy enough to hit.
Taylor has AC Angels Crest 100 coming up, and then he's doing Run Rabbit Run. The three of us are all running it,
so we're gonna do it together.
Be awesome.
Yeah, and I got to pace Cody at high low again because he's.
I'm 8 on the wait list. We'll see.
I haven't checked. You're still 8.
I'm still 8. Yeah.
Oh man, hey. The only thing though, The only thing we need is we need another driver, because driving down Monarch, like, that was not safe. I was seeing ghosts. It was bad. Like, ultras aren't only ultras for the runners, yeah, or for the crew.
The crew. Yeah, the crew. Oh, my gosh.
That's a great race, but the crewing at that race is so hard. It's probably the hardest 100 miler I've ever had to crew at.
When I picked him up, I forget the aid station I picked him up at, like mile 50 or whatever. Hancock. Driving up that four-wheel road, and you're seeing people in like Honda Civic, and you're like, damn, you guys are impressive.
It's a long drive,
Yeah, I was like, your back must hurt, though, getting rattled around that thing.
Well, we turned off the pavement, and what was it, like 7 miles, and it was an hour?
Yeah, it took forever.
4:15 or something, and we're like, wow. That must be one hell of a road.
Yeah.
That's a great race, so highly recommend it. It was so fun.
It's an insane race. It's beautiful. Yeah, and those guys, I mean, shout out to Hilo, Caleb Efta, who is the race director. Obviously, they have other races out there, but High Lonesome 100, insane, incredible.
My favorite thing about that whole race, other than getting you finished, was their emphasis on the golden hour. Everybody coming up to the finish chute.
Everybody lining the finish chute, cheering everybody on the last hour. It was insane.
I would say that, coupled with the experience at Twin at Leadville, those two things are probably the two best things in our sport. And that's probably what, like, you see at UTMB, but here stateside. Just the surrounding of the sport and the passion for it and the love for the people coming in, and realizing their goal that they probably put year or years of training to it's unparalleled. Like, you, even if you're in the area on vacation, when is that this year? July 30th, something like that. Head out to Buena Vista and cheer everyone on at the golden hour.
It's awesome. Probably like the finish line at Bighorn. You know, there's, I don't know how many people at the finish line. I mean, I'm going to say a number of 1,000, but you know, it's up in the high hundreds of people sitting at the finish line, because the 18, the 30, the 50, and the 100 all obviously finish at the same spot and somewhat around the same time too. And you know, it's like you cheer on everybody, but then when everyone sees a 100 miler coming in limping and leaning sideways, like the whole crowd just erupts, and it's like, it's such a cool spot to be.
It is.
I'm kind of sad because it'd be the first time. I haven't been out there in 3 years. So, but yeah, that's a, you know, kind of the same thing, what you're saying, like lining the chute, you know, in the golden hour, but it's, I came through in the golden hour too. So yeah. I got to experience the crowd. And so it was just kind of, it's a magical thing, but I think all races are like that. Like all the 100 milers that I've been to, they're all really, you know, they cheer people on. It's just, it's a neat environment.
Yeah.
Well, Cody, you want to, finish us off here?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I feel like a lot of my beginning in ultra and running myself was pretty much parallel to what Alan said, because we started running together. But I did start, I joined the military. So Justin, you're military. I was in the Air Force, got out, moved around, went up to DC, ran an outdoor company and really just wanted to move out west. So I came to Colorado, and I didn't have a job. I knew of Pearl Izumi, knew of them because I ran an outdoor company that they're in cycling, and I applied for every single job that they had posted. And I got hired as the receptionist.
Oh, I forgot you started the receptionist.
Yeah, I was the receptionist for Pearl Izumi for about 5 months. And I busted my ass so I could move into a different role. And thank God they had a marketing position open. And I was the marketing coordinator is what I got hired into after the receptionist for maybe a year before moving into a marketing manager role. But, I very quickly moving into a marketing coordinator role started overseeing our pro athletes, and interactions with them, getting them products. Pearl Izumi had just started, an ultra team and the team started because there was one guy who's still a really good friend of mine, Eric Manning, who worked for Smith Optics. he was out in Moab running a race with a good friend of his, Scott Heime, who is a professional ultra runner, retired a couple of years ago, but still does races, based in Colorado. And they met a guy, Bob Africa, who was a product manager at Perlizumi, developed our early footwear. And they got to talking about how cool it'd be for Perlizumi and Smith Optics to co-sponsor an ultra team. So that's how the team started. And they knew a few people, obviously Scott Heime being like the main runner there. But it quickly evolved into, if you hear my daughter, 3-year-old, she's yelling for dad, but it quickly evolved into, what I think still many in the ultra world will say is one of the best ultra teams that was honestly ever put together. I mean, in its heyday, they had Darcy Africa. They had she's still crushing races. But a badass, a multiple hard rock winner. Obviously, Scott Heime is a badass. Timothy Olsen was on the team.
PCT FKT holder currently.
Yep. Dylan Bowman was on the team. Ashley Nordell, Josh Brimhall. I mean, the list goes on and on. But my experience in ultra was having these guys come into a camp at our headquarters, showing them all the cool new gear, and then setting up photo shoots. And so I would go out to all these cool trails. We had a photographer, Eric Wynn was our photographer, and he's a really good athlete in his own right. I remember one morning they were running like 10 miles at Chautauqua before we met them, and we had to run to a point that he wanted to take photos of them as they crossed by, and I was out of shape. I couldn't run. I was huffing and puffing with gear, but that's how I fell in love with the sport, is being around these guys. I got to go to some really cool races and help support them and take photos and videos. I got to go out to Western. I was at Western when Timothy Olsen won and set what was then the course record. And it was just so cool to see this culture. And I've always been drawn to sports. I'm not a great athlete, but I've always loved being around sports, and being able to be tapped into that it blew my mind. And at that point in time, I didn't think that I could do this, like run 50 miles, run 100 miles. This is crazy. But like being on the outside looking in, it was just a completely different world that I knew I somehow had to be involved in. And so the years went by. I was at more races. I was starting to run, after getting out of the military, I was doing 5Ks and 10Ks and half marathons.
Wait a second. If memory serves right, don't you have a 246?
I do have a 243 marathon. I'm not – all right. All right.
I've said this.
I'm not a good athlete.
He's full of shit.
Get out of here.
First of all, Cody is a phenomenal.
Alan, you can go ahead and scoot over and kick him out of the.
I was 21 years old and in the military, and I was in really good shape.
However, you set the foundation. But I've also said that I've gotten destroyed on like message boards for saying this. But I've always, and I stand by the statement, I think running a really hard marathon is significantly harder than running an ultra.
I actually did a poll on my Instagram about that, and the results were overwhelming. That I have a lot of ultra runners that follow me on Instagram, and it was definitely a hard marathon is harder than a 100-miler.
Oh yeah, easy. And I mean, like, how many beers you drink?
My poll was a sub-3 marathon harder than a sub-2400.
Oh, that was 100%.
My poll. Yeah, I agree.
I haven't run a sub-24.
I'll never run a sub-24 either. Close, so
I have been close, and I was hoping to run one this year, but we'll see what happens.
Guarantee you, I never will. I'm gonna raise my hand on that one.
I never will.
But
never
my will. Point being is, how many beers can you drink in a sub-3 marathon? Zero. How many did I drink in my last 100? Two.
I bet Eliud Kipchoge could pound a beer or two and probably. Still
sub. Oh, yeah, that's probably true.
not as normal people though.
Not as average Joes, but I had you know, a few beers and last one. Actually, when I was at the Black Hills 50, our buddy Darren came through the aid station and he goes, I knew you've been through because I saw an empty beer can. And I was like,
that's a proud moment.
Great to know. He's having like pickle juice and I'm having beer. I learned that from Donnie though, and it seems to work. So he stole beer out of my drop bag and had gone through Run Rabbit last year. It got him to the finish line. But yeah, the point being, like, I don't know, I get to eat a lot of snacks. I get to talk shit to my friends in 100. Yeah. You know, occasionally shit myself. I don't know. actually, that happened in a 10-mile race. It didn't happen in 100. But
that tracks. That tracks. I can see that. Yeah. Yeah. But, all right. But to reel this back in, and my finish on this will be short, is I was involved in the sport in that aspect and wanted to try ultra running. And that's where, to what Alan kind of went into in 2014, we had the infamous no racquetball fucking breakfast turned into, hey, we're running a 50 miler. So that's my way into the sport. And I've been absolutely hooked ever since. So
nice. Well, bringing this back around to Death March. Where do you guys see this company going? Yeah, I guess that's the question.
It's a phenomenal question and something we've been, as the three of us have been meaning to get together and kind of discuss that, because like we said, I think we've been a little surprised at the reception, and it's done better than we expected. I know our initial conversations were, if we sell enough t-shirts to pay for race entry and maybe a house at a race, like that would be
that's a win.
Absolute win. Like that was the goal, and you know, we're probably going to do a content house at Run Rabbit, just posting a bunch of behind the scenes shit of those types of things, which that wasn't our goal year, probably not even year one. It was like, if we get there, that'd be phenomenal. Yeah. But I think going forward, seeing what we've done now, and like Cody alluded to, we have a lot of ideas and we're having a lot of fun with it. At least in the immediate future, we want to do a lot more stuff on the women's side of the sport, promoting the women's side. Our designs are probably more on the masculine side, historically. So like the Wildflowers design that we dropped on Friday was more of the female-focused thing. We're going to have some more of the female-focused apparel. The women have been very outspoken that they prefer tank tops. So you guys will see some tank tops coming soon. But outside of that, we're going to likely move into some more ultra running related products. Some of the ideas kicking around, like drop bags or crew gear type thing. We have some ideas there based on our experiences, those that I think could work really well. And Cody has a phenomenal idea that he can tease if he wants, but it's an in-person idea. It's not a product idea, so I'll let him speak to that.
Yeah, we're gonna beta test it this year, and we will have a race
at some point. Yeah,
at some point. Ideas are kind of all over the place on distance, on time, on what it is. We definitely believe that all miles are beer miles. And so there will be beer related,
activities.
Or not, but yeah. So we're trying to figure it out, but we're going to beta test a race this summer. And hopefully it turns into something that we can push out. And
we'll make sure it's inclusive for our sober friends too. We'll find some other hard challenge for our folks that don't drink. I don't know, like eating a birthday cake or something.
What is it like? Sparkling water is like what the sober community. Robbie, what is it?
We can just do athletic beer.
Athletic beer.
True. I guess that works. I don't know. We'll figure something out. But yeah, some challenge related thing that would be accessible for
eat a birthday
community.
Cake.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
I like to eat the birthday cake better.
Yeah, the birthday cake's pretty good.
So
birthday cake.
Yeah, on the birthday cake note, how that came about is Donnie, who I mentioned earlier, who I paced at Leadville, for his 48th birthday, he decided to run 48K. This was
around a lake that's 1.5 miles.
Yeah, we ran a lot of laps. And so I was the only one of his buddies that ran the whole thing with him, which was pretty funny. He had a couple buddies that were there the whole time, but took it off. Cody showed up for the last few. But then he pulls out this birthday cake at the end, and I'm cooked. Like, who runs essentially? It ended up being closer to 50K, but who just like runs an ultra casually on a Sunday for grins? I don't know. we're dumb species here. And he pulled out his birthday cake. It was phenomenal. So
it was amazing.
I think in my next crew like food container, I'm going to include a birthday cake.
Dude, it's got to be the Whole idea. Foods Chantilly cake. That's where it's at.
Whole Foods, of course. You're bougie.
Dude, that's what Donald brought. I'm not bougie. That's what Donald
brought. I'm here asking for McDonald's, and you're going to like Ruth's Chris Steakhouse or some shit. I don't know.
Hey, man, if I get sponsored by Ruth's Chris, I'll be all right.
Yeah. 100%.
Oh, the McDonald's thing, I never brought that back. But after that first 50K, I went and bought like 50 chicken nuggets, a couple supersized fries, and a chocolate shake. And we did
like, bro, hey, I just spent a lot of money on McDonald's. What do you think about getting a pro deal?
Yeah. Me and my buddy Alex, we're doing Willy Wonka ice bath in the like motel bathroom where we were in the ice bath together facing each other, just pounding McDonald's. It was phenomenal.
God. Like, that's great.
The grandparents and Willy Wonka, 100%.
That's awesome.
That is amazing. Justin, just to finish off a couple other things to your question is we do have some cool new product that is launching that's not available right now, will be in a couple weeks. We have a couple new hats coming out, and then we have a really, really sweet Pain Cave switchback neck buff or gaiter. That should be available in about a week. So we're trying to do things that runners can use. Obviously.
Yeah. Shout out to Switchback, cool company out of California, woman owned company. And they've been great to work with.
They have been.
So, awesome.
Yeah.
Well, where can everyone find you guys, either on your socials, also Death March, where can people buy some products?
Yeah. Yeah. So, only available, the only place you can really find us is either Instagram, and it's Death March Running Co. on Instagram, or you can purchase any of our products or check us out, learn more on our website, which is just deathmarchrunningcompany.com. So
if you want to email us your thoughts on whatever, you can email us and we'll chat with you.
Taylor's a wild card.
You just opened it up right there. I'm sending an email right now.
Yeah, deathmarchrunningcompany@gmail.com. Send it.
I try to get in there before Taylor can just to
I haven't said anything that inappropriate. Yeah,
that's true. I'm waiting.
Yeah.
I'm waiting.
Yeah. I've been on my best behavior on this podcast too. So
yeah, that's true. Taylor is. Yeah, random shit.
Cody's joke that he's going to start like what random absurd thing did Taylor say, like poll on Instagram and just turn it into a weekly thing. There's some silly shit that comes out of my mouth.
Awesome. Well, hey guys, I really appreciate it. Were we the first podcast for Death March?
Yes, yes sir.
Awesome. Yes. So I feel like we're honored because I know we're not going to be the last. So. But thank you so much for coming on and telling us about your product and yourselves. And I'm excited to see what the future holds.
Yeah. What do you guys have on tap for the rest of the year?
What's going on?
I know you said the winter ultra, but what all do you guys got the rest of the year?
That's a good question. I am running the White Mountain 100. Well, I'm 11th on the wait list, but from what I've been told that the wait list kind of runs through about the week before the race, but it's here local. So I'm okay with that. It's a crazy platform. It is a carry everything that you are going to need for 100 miles. Damn. There are aid stations, but they're 20 miles apart. There's no crew, no pacers. The temperatures can be from 40 to negative 40. It's a 100-mile loop. It's a run, bike, or ski race. They let like 80 people in, and I think only about 7 or 8 of them run it. So it's a big like biking, skiing event.
That's cool.
40-hour cutoff. So you got time to get it, but it's a lot of march.
I bet.
I've heard that there was a pack of wolves that were chasing down a runner one year. So yes. You do have wildlife that, because you're out in the middle of nowhere, you know, you're remote. Yeah, so yeah. If I can make it through this one, we'll see what the future holds.
There you go. I like it.
Man. For me, I'm just going to go out and do some big adventures. I don't have any races planned for this year.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Running for fun. I like it.
Yeah. Yep.
Sweet. All right, guys. Thanks again.
Yeah, have a great rest of your evening.
Yep, thank you.